the word, he says, and packs up his books. Apparently, we'll be walking again. This makes me happy. It's so much easier to talk when I don't have to see his eyes. Ethan looks different today. Borderline peppy.
How about 2B? 2Baroni? No?
Did you get some sleep or something? I ask. He looks up at me, startled.
Huh?
He runs his hands through his hair, his fingers raking the pieces into a perfect mess. I want to touch his hair, tousle it like Jem did. The color is so dark, it looks like it bleeds. I don't know, it's just, you usually seem tired. Today you're more awake.
That obvious?
He nudges me with his shoulder. Honestly, it's like Jekyll and Hyde. I grin at him to show I mean no harm.
6 hours, in a row.
He says it proudly, like he just won an award.
I'm what you'd call sleep-challenged. I read much of the night and go south in the winter.
What?
Sorry, quoting The Wasteland. I do read much of the night, but I don't go anywhere come winter, except sometimes Tahoe to snowboard. So, have you read it?
The Wasteland? Why can't I keep up with him? I'm a smart girl. I get at least 7.5 hours a night. And can he touch my shoulder again, please?
The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Nope.
You should. It's pretty interesting. It's about a guy with a split personality.
I'm sure you relate, I say.
Ha,
he says. So how about Too Belicious? I ask. This is all easier than it should be.
Too Belicious it is, Jessie.
He stops, and then I wait for it.
Holmes.
Later, we find ourselves at a Starbucks, though not the one with the weird barista. Ethan buys me a vanilla latte and waves my hand away when I offer some cash. Does that make this a date? Or does everyone know that I'm economically challenged, at least by Wood Valley standards? Then again, it's just a latte, and he seems like the chivalrous type. He memorizes poetry and holds the door, and he hasn't taken his phone out even once to text. Let's be real here. Ethan probably has a girlfriend, someone who has an entire Parisian-like sexual history, open and comfortable and varied. I should ask Ree, but I'm embarrassed. Liking Ethan feels too cliché.
I assume you aren't going to Jem's party on Saturday night, he says and blows on his coffee.
I'm not sure if I should be insulted by his assumption that I won't be anywhere near the most popular kids in the junior and senior classes on a Saturday night. And why does he always have to bring up the Wonder Twins? It's embarrassing. Actually, I think I am, I shrug. Do my best to project a screw-em vibe, so they don't like my laptop and my jeans and anything else about me. That won't keep me home.
Really?
He asks.
Cool.
A friend of mine is playing with his band, so... It's reaching to call Liam a friend, but I want Ethan to stop thinking of me as Jem's victim, as a big fat loser.
You mean Oville?
Yeah.
Who do you know?
He asks. His tone is borderline belligerent, like it's preposterous that someone like me should know someone in the band. What the hell is his problem? A guy named Liam? Why?
I'm in Oville.
Of course. Of course he is. Crap. He and Liam are probably best friends, and now Liam will hear that I dropped his name, like he's a celebrity, or like we're besties or something. Thank God I didn't call it Oville. This is mortifying. Seriously? I keep forgetting how small this school is. Everyone knows everyone and everything except me.
Knowing everyone here is overrated,
Ethan says. What do you play? I ask.
Electric guitar, and I sing a little, though Liam really fronts us.
He's good, I say. I bet the band is, too.
You've heard him?
That tone again. Is it really that hard to believe that I'm friends with Liam?
Yeah. Just practicing, you know?
Liam's okay,
Ethan says, takes a sip of coffee and then another, reconsiders, softens.
No, you're right. He's good.
And you?
I ask, trying to lighten the mood, which feels heavy. It's two steps forward, one step back with this guy.
I'm not too shabby myself,
Ethan says, and there it is again, his sudden goofy smile, so bright and beautiful, it's like staring straight into the sun. At home under the food dome, miso cod, a fancy salad with edamame and candied walnuts, sticky coconut rice. Gloria knows how to cook Japanese food? Too bad I'm anti-food porn, because this meal is Instagram-worthy. Again, the house is dark, though Theo sits at the kitchen counter nursing a glass of red wine, like he's 40 and has had a tough day at work. It's only been 3 years since he had braces. I've seen the pictures.
Upshot, not talking, still married,
Theo says, and pours me my own glass without my asking. I take a sip, breathe through my nose like Scarlett taught me. It's not half bad. Where are they? I ask.
Who knows? Couples therapy, a work dinner. My mom never used to go out this much.
My dad either.
They're both idiots.
Stop it.
They are. They thought they could just insert replacement here and forget that someone they loved actually died? Even I'm more emotionally mature than that.
I drink my wine. Theo's not wrong. Now what happens? I ask. Two sips and my arms start to tingle, that feeling that tells me the alcohol is winding its way into my system.
No idea. I just didn't need all this shit, you know? Like, junior year isn't stressful enough.
What are you worried about? You're acing all of your classes. You have PSAT tutors. Did you hear the plural there? Tutors? And I'm sure your mom has a friend of a friend on every admissions board. Your life is cake.
You're describing pretty much every single kid at school. How many people do you think Harvard accepts from Wood Valley?
5. Harvard? Seriously?
What?
Nothing. It's just that I never even considered getting into Harvard. I don't think anyone from my old school has ever gotten in there, even our valedictorians. I don't mention that in Chicago, I was on track to graduate first or second in my class, and now my rank has dropped just by transferring. Apparently, FDR's classes aren't weighted as heavily. One more way I've been screwed by this move.
Well, thank you for that little life lesson,
Theo says, and for a moment he looks angry, like he's going to have another temper tantrum angry. But then it passes, and he just sighs. I just mean Harvard isn't the be-all and end-all, I say, as if I know these sorts of things. You're going to get into a great school no matter what. I like wine, I decide. It makes me feel slippery, soft, allowing words to just leak out. It makes it less hard being me.
My dad went to Harvard.
He plays the dead dad card, as if that will get any sympathy from over here. Instead, I laugh. I can't help it. It's funny.
What? Why are you laughing?
Because your dad went to Harvard, I say.
Why is that so funny?
You're a freaking legacy. Theo looks at me, starts laughing too.
You're right. And his dad went to Harvard too. My life is pretty much cake. You know, other than being gay and losing my dad. But the rest, fine. You win.
Here's an idea. You really need to start a YouTube channel where you can whine to the camera. Boo-hoo, I'm gay. Boo-hoo, my dad died, I joke. Theo smiles.
Already have one. I'll send you the link.
Theo clinks his glass with mine.
You know, you can sit in on my PSAT tutoring sessions.
Really?
I ask. Don't get too excited. Mondays only, not Thursday. Thursday is when the magic happens.
Chapter 18. Me. Three things. One, not to gross you out, but I have super long toes. They're kind of creepy. Two, I write very bad poetry when I'm feeling sorry for myself. Three, I hate cartoons, even the ones on Adult Swim. SN. 1. My favorite day of the week is Wednesday. I admire its in-betweenness. 2. I'd bet you $100 that your toes are actually cute. 3. I went through a phase in 9th where I painted my fingernails black. Yeah, I thought I was so cool. Me. You going to the party tonight? SN. Don't. Me. Don't what? SN. Don't try to figure out who I am. Please. Just don't. Me. I don't get it. SN. Just trust me, okay? Me. Have fun tonight at homecoming. You look amazing. Scarlet. Thank you. One of my finer selfies, if I do say so myself. Me. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. Actually, I take that back. Have fun. Scarlet. Oh, I intend to. ... Scarlet. Did you notice the ellipsis there? Because that was intentional. Me. I noted the ellipsis. Scarlet. Good. Just making sure. Agnes applies my makeup with at least 15 different brushes. When she's done, she sweeps my hair behind my shoulders and makes me face the mirror. Voila! She says, like we've just finished a makeover scene on a morning show. I look up and smile at the face blinking back. Wow, Dree says and claps in excitement. You look amazing. Thanks, darling, I say. We gather for a group selfie, since we are all looking pretty damn good, and once we each approve the picture, after only 3 tries, Agnes Instagrams it and tags us. Dree has agreed to be our designated driver, since drinking aggravates her IBS. I'm learning that Dree has a lot of what she calls nerd ailments. IBS, asthma, carpal tunnel syndrome, myopia. We all pile into her mom's car and turn up the radio. I feel like a normal teenage girl, headed to a normal party on a normal Saturday night. I might have, for at least a little while, taken off my top-secret grief backpack and left it behind. Jem lives in a mansion, on a hill, behind a gate, hidden by 10-foot-high hedges. We hike around the house to get to the backyard, where people are lounging on upholstered couches grouped around the infinity pool. An elaborate bar is set up on a built-in barbecue, and there's an actual stage laid out on the lawn with a professional-grade sound system. I feel relief knowing that Jem and Crystal will likely not even notice that I'm here. Drinks? Agnes asks, and without waiting for my answer, grabs my wrist, and I grab Dree's, and we head to the bar, which is filled with bottles, presumably pilfered from everyone's parents' stashes. You'll introduce me, right, to Liam? Dree asks me. Course, I say. I mean, I don't know him that well, but if I see him. A few minutes later, holding drinks which are devised by Agnes and are red and potent, we begin our lap around the party. I'm glad I let my new friends pick out my outfit. I'm wearing my short black dress from last year's homecoming paired with Dree's jewelry and strappy sandals. I feel hands cover my eyes, and I stifle my impulse to scream.
Guess who?
Hey, I say, and twist out of the hands and turn to face. Liam. Did I hope it would be Ethan? Okay, maybe a little. Liam gives me a peck on the cheek, which is weird, because we don't kiss hello at the store. Hi, I say, greeting him twice. Hey, hi, really, Jesse? Best you can do?
Hi,
he says, and his voice is thick and loose. He's drunk, I realize, though I'm not sure how far gone. He's not stumbling, but he rests his hands on my shoulders. He has what Scarlett and I would call penis fingers. Dree would call them manly.
I'm so glad you came. We're going on any minute.
Cool, I say, and then I notice Dree standing next to me. Liam, have you ever met my friend Dree? She's the best. You guys have, like, literally the same taste in music.
Yo,
he says, and tips an imaginary hat at her. Yep, very drunk. Liam is not a hat-tipping kind of guy. Dree freezes because Liam Sandler is talking to her, and though I'm sure she's fantasized about this moment many, many times, it's a very different thing when fantasy meets reality. Agnes elbows her to wake her out of her stupor. Hi, Dree says. Ovala's, you guys are really very, good.
We aim to please,
he says, a little cocky. Maybe he's not so different from the other senior guys after all. Someone far away whistles.
That's my cue, ladies. See you later, Jess.
Liam heads toward the stage, and once he's out of earshot, Dree grabs my hands. Did that just happen? Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, she says. He's seriously drunk, I say. No shit, Sherlock, Agnes says, and gives me a pointed look over Dree's head, though I'm not sure what she's trying to say. Let's get closer to the stage. Dree leads the way, and we all hold hands again and snake through the crowd to get a better view. What? I whisper to Agnes. Nothing, she says. But it's the kind of nothing that means something. We make our way to the front, and then I see the whole band, right there on stage, which also means I see Ethan, and my stomach drops. He has a blue electric guitar strapped across his chest. His hair is even messier than usual, and he looks like an actual rock star, despite the Batman logo emblazoned across his chest. Like he was born to be up there, born to hear pathetic girls like me squeal his name. Our eyes catch, a second, then another, one more. But I look away because, holy crap, I'm no longer cold. I want to look back. I want nothing more in this life but to look back and have him look at me, but I know he's now on to more important things, like playing guitar and having eye sex with other girls, and I just can't take it. Aren't they amazing? Dree asks, even though they haven't started playing yet. They look like a real band, I say, which is the greatest understatement of our time. They don't look like a real band. They look like rock gods. I mean, not like high school kids. I know, right? We thought they were going to break up last year after Xander died, but then Liam joined and took his place. Dree stops talking because the music starts and I don't get a chance to ask more. Who is Xander? Was he the kid who Theo said overdosed on heroin? Have I completely misunderstood Liam and Ethan? Do they live, like, rock star lives, with needles in their arms and scantily clad girls giving them blowjobs in their tour van? Is that why Ethan always looks exhausted? Too much partying? Ovil starts with a fast one, and the crowd all knows the words and starts dancing with arms thrown in the air. Liam sweats and belts his heart out. We tried, I cried, you hide, and then we do it all over. Do it all over. We tried, I cried, you hide, and then we do it all over. Simple lyrics, maybe. But before I know it, I'm dancing too. Transfixed. Maybe it's the alcohol. Not maybe, of course it's the alcohol. But I find myself staring at Ethan. I don't care if he notices, thinks I'm a cray-cray stalker. He's on stage asking to be stared at. For a second, I feel his eyes on mine. I swear I do. And I shiver. But then he looks back into the crowd, and I think I must have imagined it.
We're Ovil, and we'll be back,
Liam says and jumps off the stage to deafening cheers. I turn to Dree, grab her shoulders.
You were so right about them, I say. Oh, my God.
Right? Right?
Not you too, Agnes says and rolls her eyes, though she was dancing right alongside us. Not about Liam, I say. But...
Not about Liam what?
Liam says, and there he is again, standing next to me, shiny with sweat and elation. Thank God I didn't finish my sentence. I don't need the humiliation of Ethan finding out I have a debilitating crush on him via Liam.
Nothing. You guys were amazing, seriously,
I say, and nudge Dree to join in the conversation. Before she can say a word, though, Jem runs up and practically jumps into Liam's arms and wraps herself around his torso. She kisses him and we can all see her tongue.
Whoa, what was that for?
Liam slowly puts her down. He doesn't sound drunk anymore. Maybe performing burned it all off.
Baby, you guys, like, totally slayed, Jem says, and then links her arm with his, as if we need another demonstration that she is his girlfriend.
We get it. He bones you.
Thanks. Hey, do you know Jessie? Remember I told you about her? She works at Book Out Below,
Liam says. Jem turns to me and smiles, and it looks so sincere, my first thought, beyond disgust, is that I'm certain that she will one day become famous. This girl can act. Of course Liam likes Jem. He's never actually met her. I wonder what he'd say if he knew she mocks me daily.
You're new, right? Don't we have English together or something?
She asks. Pure innocence. I shrug, unable to force myself to respond. Agnes thrusts another drink into my hand, and though I don't really need it, I gulp it down. Liam, I like the new riff you added to Before I Go. It really works, Dree says, and I so appreciate her jumping in that I want to cry.
You think? Ethan thought it was a little flashy,
Liam says.
Nah, you needed a break right then. Too much tension or something.
That's exactly what I said.
Lily, we need to go. Crystal is calling us,
Jem says, and starts to pull Liam away, like he's a yippy dog sniffing something disgusting.
I'll be there in a sec, Liam says.
Come on, I want you to make me your special vodka and Red Bull.
Jem says it like an invitation, as if she is asking him to lick her, not to prepare a drink. How does she do that? Talk with innuendo. Is that something I will ever learn how to do, or is it a skill she was born with, just a bonus in her overflowing genetic swag bag?
I do make kick-ass cocktails. Catch you guys later?
Liam asks, and gives us a wide smile, big enough that Dree can now cross, see Liam Sandler smile at me, off her bucket list. SN, you look beautiful.
Me.
Are you here? Where are you? I don't acknowledge his compliment, because it's too easy to lie. Maybe Agnes has a point. Writing is different from speaking after all. My mom used to tell me I was beautiful, but I always felt like she meant it in a general way, from the perch of someone whose own body had betrayed her, and maybe also as a public service message, a way to build up my flagging self-confidence. Scarlett's mother, on the other hand, used to say that Scarlett could be gorgeous if she only lost 10 pounds, which was cruel, of course, but also specific, as if her mom thought she was worthy of an honest assessment. I look around. A tall, good-looking guy in the corner wearing glasses and a gray t-shirt is staring at his phone. It takes me a moment to place him. He was the first person I saw at Wood Valley, Kilimanjaro gray t-shirt boy. The one who spent the summer climbing mountains and building schools in Tanzania. I doubt he's SN. I picture SN as more of a homebody, unlikely to have spent his summer scaling mountains. But it's worth further investigation. Who's that? I ask Dree, motioning to the guy in the corner. Caleb. Agnes went to junior prom with him last year as friends. He's cool. Why?
Trying to figure out who SN is, I say.
Dree jumps up onto one of the lounge chairs to get a better view of the party. I try to pull her down. I don't want him, wherever he is, whoever he is, to see her scoping him out. Dree is many wonderful things, but subtle is not one of them.
I'd say 3/4 of the guys at this party are texting right now, she reports. Could be Caleb, though. He's a little weird like that.
SN is not weird, I say.
Right, Dree says, because anonymously texting someone all day, every day is not weird at all.
SN, nice try. I'm good at hiding in plain sight. I rock the camouflage.
Me, fine. Are you having fun?
SN, a little bored, which is why I'm texting you.
Me, you could just talk to me, you know, in person instead.
SN, one day, not tonight.
Me, we don't have parties like these back home, like with a real band.
SN, you like Deauville?
Me, I thought they were amazing.
SN, they used to be better.
Me, I think I may be drunk.
SN, me too.
Me, so let's meet. Come on, what's the worst that can happen? You don't even have to talk to me.
SN, what are you implying?
Me, I don't know. I warned you I was drunk.
SN, the old I was drunk excuse.
Me, not an excuse, an explanation.
SN, I love how you're always so precise with your words.
Me, I don't get this. What's the point?
SN, question mark.
Me, of all this talking, are you embarrassed to be seen with me? Are you worried I won't like you? I don't get it.
SN, none of the above. I just like this. A lot. This IMing thing works. I'm too drunk to explain now.
Me, the old I was drunk excuse.
SN, I promise we will meet. Soon.
Me, you keep saying that.
SN, you know what I think about sometimes?
Me, what?
SN, you know that piece of hair that always falls into your eyes? The not quite a bang piece? I want to be able to tuck it behind your ear.
I want to be able to do that.
I want to meet you when I feel comfortable enough with you to do that.
Me, you are so weird.
SN, you are not the first person to say that.
Me, am I the first to say that I really like that about you?
I look over at Caleb again, try to imagine SN's words coming out of that guy's mouth. Try to picture him making as romantic a gesture as tucking my hair behind my ears. Him understanding that touching my hair requires a certain amount of intimacy. No, the image doesn't work. Instead, I picture Caleb as a future frat president, the type to yell at his pledge to chug a beer. SN's probably not Kilimanjaro gray t-shirt boy then. But who the hell is he?
I'm drunk, I tell Dree and Agnes.
You've already told us, Dree says, like a million times.
Sorry. Apparently I'm the type of drunk who likes to let other people know, I say.
It's charming, Agnes says in her typical dry way. I'm a little drunk too, though not as sloppy as you.
I'm not sloppy, I say.
I look down. Am I sloppy?
Everything seems to still be in place except my mind, which is rolling around in my head. I've gotten drunk before, though usually alone with Scarlet. I guess my tolerance is 2 Agnes specials.
You're both sloppy, Dree says. She throws her arms around our necks, which I'm grateful for because it helps me with my balance.
Do you think it's possible to have a crush on 2 people at once? I ask, which is one of those embarrassing questions I would never ask sober. Maybe I should never drink again.
Totally. I'm usually into, like, 5 guys at a time, Agnes says,
I like to keep it varied, optimize my chances.
So, who do you like? SN Obvi, but who else?
Please, please don't say Liam.
I'm about to say it out loud, tell her Ethan, and finally get the entire scoop, since I know Dree is not the type to withhold details. She'll tell me his life story, what he was like in sixth grade, whether he has a girlfriend, whether he's a D-bag. Maybe she'll even help angle us closer to him so I can say hello. So far, our only contact has been when he passed by me after the show. Hey, that was neither rude nor friendly, nor an invitation to talk more. The same closed-up can of nothing he seems to lob at everyone else. I thought we were getting past that.
I guess I thought wrong.
Just as the word is about to come out of my mouth, Ethan, which is a pretty word, don't you think? Jem comes barreling toward me.
You stay away from my boyfriend, you skank,
she says, and gets right up into my face, my grill, which is an expression I've never once had an occasion to use until right now. I say, I wish I could go back in time and not drink those two drinks, because I'm having trouble understanding what's going on. Why is Jem yelling at me? I've grown accustomed to her passive-aggressive, under-the-breath taunts, which I can usually pretend I don't hear. I can't do that with her yelling into my mouth. And skank? Really? What? I want to wipe her breath off of my face, a slathering of onion and alcohol. I want to be far away from here, maybe tucked in bed. California is exhausting.
Stay the hell away from Liam, Jem says, and then flicks her hair, like she's in some Mean Girl movie, and struts away.
I take it back. She's not a great actress. She lays it on too thick. I look around to see if anyone saw, but it's just me, Dree, and Agnes in our own little circle in the vast backyard.
Holy crap! Did that just happen?
Agnes asks and starts to giggle. It's not funny, I say, though I wish it were. What the hell?
Jem's been all messed up since her dad got arrested last year. It was like all over the tabloids, Agnes says. I mean, she wasn't that nice before, but since then, she's gone full-on raging bitch. I hear he could go to jail.
What did he get arrested for? I ask, though I don't really care. I hate her. No Wood Valley sob story is going to get sympathy from me.
Her dad solicited a prostitute, Dree says, and there's some sort of tax fraud thing.
Seriously? I ask.
Whatever, Agnes says.
Just tell me one thing, Dree asks, and I can hear the plea in her voice. Before, were you just about to say you liked Liam?
No, of course not, I say. But I can't tell if she believes me.
Me. I'm drunky.
Scarlet.
Me too.
Me.
Having fun?
Scarlet.
A blast.
Me.
Yeah.
Me too.
Even through my drunken haze, I realize I'm lying. My hands are shaking. My teeth are chattering. I want to go home. No. Home doesn't really exist anymore. I lower my expectations. I want to go to bed. I see Ethan only once more before we leave the party, on our way out the door. He is lying down on one of the lounge chairs alone. I'm pretty sure he's sleeping. Good, I think. He needs it. It takes all of my willpower not to brush the hair from his forehead. Chapter 19.
Me. Three things. 1. I have a headache. 2. The room is spinning. 3. I'm never drinking again.
SN. 1. I intend to waste most of my day playing Xbox, with occasional breaks to eat pizza, preferably with eggplant, which I get a lot of shit for, but whatever. Sue me. I don't like pepperoni. Never have, never will. 2. I was up early, so I've been listening to Flume all morning. 3. My mom is still sleeping, like she's the teenager in the house. Me.
You're American, right?
SN. Yeah, why?
Me.
Pepperoni?
Not liking pepperoni is like not liking apple pie.
SN. Will that analogy be on the PSATs?
Me. So you are a junior?
SN. Relax, Nancy Drew.
Me. I'm doing homework today.
Calc is kicking my ass.
SN.
And what a fine wood it is.
Me.
Shut up.
SN.
Was that objectifying? Sorry.
Me. Have I mentioned lately that you're a weirdo?
SN. I seem to recall you saying something like that.
Me. Later I have to work. Do you have a job?
SN. Nah, my parents won't let me. Rather give me an allowance and have me focus on my schoolwork.
Me. How Wood Valley of them. I'm glad they're supporting your Xbox habit.
SN. I know we're all ridiculous to you, and I couldn't agree more. Where do you work?
Me. I'm not sure I want to tell you.
SN. Question mark.
Me. Too stalkerish.
SN. Yesterday you were begging to meet me. Now telling me where you work is too stalkerish?
Me. I wasn't begging.
SN. Sorry. Poor word choice. Asking.
Me. Guess.
SN. Where you work?
Me.
Yeah. SN. Okay. But let me ask a few questions first. 1. Do you like it? 2. Do you come home dirty?
Me. 1. Actually, yeah. I like it a lot.
2. No!
SN.
Coffee shop?
Me.
Nope.
SN.
The Gap?
Me. Are you making fun of me?
SN. No, why?
Me. Never mind.
SN. I got it. I forgot for a minute that you're a book nerd. Barnes & Noble. Am I right? I'm totally right.
Me.
Close. Book out below, up on Ventura. You should come visit.
SN.
So fickle. Now you want me to visit?
Me. Maybe I do. Maybe I don't.
Me.
So, Scarlet. If you must know.
Me. I must. I must.
Scarlet. My hymen is intact.
Me. Surely you could have told me in a less graphic fashion.
Scarlet. I know, but it wouldn't have been as much fun.
Me.
I'm hungover.
Scarlet.
Me too, and my face is all chafed from Adam's beard. I think he must have practiced a lot after smooching you.
Me. What makes you say that?
Scarlet. Dude, that boy can kiss.
When I come downstairs, my dad is in the kitchen wearing an apron that says, Chef Bitch, which I assume belongs to Rachel, but could just as easily belong to Theo. Music is playing in the background, something country, an overly sentimental ode to pickup trucks and short denim shorts, what Scarlett calls WPM, white people music. Pancakes, sweetheart? My dad asks, full of annoying morning cheer. He looks all wrong in this kitchen. He's never made pancakes. That was my mom's job. Syrup and flour congeal on the pristine marble countertops. Does he feel at home here? Comfortable enough to man the stove and serve up pancakes barefoot? I feel awkward when I use the microwave. I don't want to leave crime scene splatters on its insides or any other evidence of my existence. Will I be able to eat breakfast without throwing up? No choice. I've never once turned down a carb, and I don't need my dad getting suspicious about my drinking. Sure, I say. What I don't say? What's going on? Are we staying? Are you suddenly really happy, or is this an act? You made breakfast? This may be a first.
Gloria's day off.
Right.
Listen, we need to talk, he says.
My stomach drops out, and vomit pushes its way up. Clearly this whole kitchen act is a sad departure gift.
My dad and Rachel are breaking up, and we are leaving. They are unraveling that which never should have been raveled in the first place. That's what this faux happy performance is about, a way to butter me up before the news. I put my head down on the cold counter. Screw it. Who cares if he knows I've been drinking? He's guilty of much bigger transgressions. In fact, he's lucky I've never had the energy to seriously rebel. I should win a Trooper of the Year award. Should have been given a little brave golden man statue or some sort of plaque to hang on my wall. This breakfast must be a last hurrah before we have to hit the road. Makes sense that my dad would take advantage of his final chance to use a Viking range and fancy-ass pans and organic pressed coconut oil in a perfectly measured spray. I should run upstairs and wash my hands with that delicate, monogrammed soap that still has a price tag on it. Learn what $100 gets you in the soap world.
Here, these will help settle your stomach.
My dad places a stack of perfect circles on a plate and puts them in front of me. They smell surprising, not like the thing itself, but like a representation of the thing. The fragrant candle version of a pancake.
Just tell me you didn't drive last night.
Of course not. Dree did, I say.
Dree?
I have friends, Dad. Don't be so surprised. Did you think that I wouldn't talk to anyone ever again? I don't know why I'm being mean, but I can't help it. For once, my words are one step ahead of my mind, not the other way around.
No, I'm happy for you, that's all. I know it hasn't been easy.
I laugh. Not a laugh, exactly. More like a nasty nay. No. No, it hasn't. Nothing has been easy for a long, long time. Even last night, my first attempt at fun since we moved ended with a sociopathic blonde calling me a skank.
I guess I deserve that, my dad says.
So what now? Are we leaving?
What? No. Why would you say that?
He asks, and his surprise seems genuine. Did he not realize the entire city of Los Angeles heard his fight with Rachel? That the other night he basically admitted that this whole thing has been a huge mistake? Doesn't he know that I've spent the entire week psychologically readying myself for another departure? Your fight with her.
It was just an argument, Jess. Not the end of the world.
But she said,
I sometimes forget that you're just a teenager. But I remember that how everything feels bigger, or, I don't know, somehow just more when you're your age.
Don't you, of all people, dare be condescending, I say. There's a sharpness to my tone, and of course, I'm a hypocrite, accusing him of talking down to me while acting like a stereotypical teenager, all snark and pouts. But screw him, seriously. Screw him. My dad sighs as if I am impossible, as if I'm the one who doesn't make sense. She said leave and don't come back. I heard her.
Stop saying she and her. Rachel. Her name is Rachel. And people say stupid things when they're angry.
And people do stupid things when they're grieving, like get married and move across the country and not give a shit about their kid.
Don't.
Don't what? I'm yelling now. I don't know when my control slipped, because here it is. The anger delivered. Whole and solid. Hot and unwieldy. Placental.
Do you want to leave? Is that what you're saying?
He asks. I think of SN, of Dree and Agnes, of Ethan with his electric blue guitar and his dismissive,
hey.
No, I don't want to leave, but I don't want to feel like this either, like an interloper in someone else's home. If I do throw up today, which is more likely than not at this point, I don't want to have to worry about soiling Rachel's bathroom. I don't want to feel in constant danger of eviction. No, none of that is important. What do I really want? I want to punch my dad in the face, connect fist to nose, crush, crunch, make him bleed,
kick him hard and watch him bend over and squeal and scream the words, "I'm sorry." This feeling is new. This anger. I've always found a way around the pain, have never burrowed straight through like this. My dad doesn't look delicate right now. Not like the other night. Not like most of the last few years. Why have I been the one wearing kid gloves all this time? I'm not saying anything. Forget it, Dad. What did you want to talk about? My fingers are pulled into actual fists. I can trust myself not to throw an actual punch, right?
I just wanted to see how you're doing. How school is, just checking in. I know I've been busy, and the other night I didn't even ask about your day. I felt bad about that.
Busy? I can count the number of conversations we've had since we've moved.
The rage stays clean and pure and red, like last night's drinks. Does he have any idea what my life has been like? Funny that he checks in only when I've finally started to find my footing. Too little, too late.
Wow, I didn't know.
Know what, Dad? That moving here has been hard for me? Are you serious right now? Let's what? Talk about this later? Sure. Great idea.
I push away the plate, resist the urge to throw it in my father's face, and storm out of the room.
Trouble in paradise?
Theo asks, because of course he is coming down the stairs as I'm marching up, two at a time. I'm shaking with anger, vibrating with the pulse of it. My mouth tastes bitter, full of bile. I imagine switching targets, connecting my fist to Theo's jaw, ruining his pretty, pretty face. Screw you, I say. He shrugs, nonplussed.
Rage is totally your color.
Later, at Book Out Below, I sip herbal tea and play Candy Crush on my phone. Only two purchases so far, and one jerk who took a picture of a book to buy online. By late afternoon, just as evening seeps in and I start to feel bored and lonely, the bell dings. New customer. My head snaps up, full-on reflexive now, and I gasp in surprise.
Caleb.
Kilimanjaro gray t-shirt boy, who I saw texting at the party. No one from school other than Liam has ever walked into this store while I've been working, not even Dree, though she promises to visit. I told SN just this morning about this place, so it doesn't take great powers of deduction to conclude that this must be him before me, finally in the flesh. My heart squeezes, so this is the person I've been spilling my guts to for the last 2 months? And I wait for the disappointment to hit. It doesn't. Instead, I feel disoriented, the same thing that happens after I ask someone for directions and then forget to listen, realize that I'm still just as lost as before. It's hard to imagine SN's words coming out of this guy's mouth. He's attractive, yes. Hot, even. But in a normal, run-of-the-mill way. Generic. A variant of the presumptive prom king type you find in any high school in America. No special sauce. What do I say? Do I introduce myself? Play dumb? Act like I assume this is all just a strange coincidence? He's wearing the same gray t-shirt as last night and as the first day of school, when I literally applauded him for climbing a mountain. He must have felt bad for me then, must have seen that I needed some help since I couldn't even manage to find the right homeroom. Hopefully somehow he didn't notice the grass stuck to my ass. Mind officially blown. Sploof. Kilimanjaro gray t-shirt guy.
Hey, is Liam here?
He asks and smiles down at me, like he's in on the joke, though this doesn't feel particularly funny. Just uncomfortable. Is this why he hasn't wanted to meet until now? Knew it would feel this awkward and random?
No, sorry. He doesn't work today.
Jesse, this is SN. Up your game.
Oh, I think he has my phone, he says. I lost it last night at the party. You go to Wood Valley too, right?
Yeah, I'm Jesse. I say and reach out too formally, I think a moment too late, to shake his hand. His fingers are long and dry, his shake a bit limp, a mismatch to his voice.
Caleb, he says. Nice to meet you.
You too. I smile back, try to say with my eyes what I don't have the nerve to say with my mouth. I know it's you. This is a weird game we're playing, but I guess so is IMing anonymously.
So how do you like it so far? School, I mean.
I guess you could say I'm still adjusting.
Yeah, cool. Cool.
Caleb turns to leave. Is he as nervous as I am? And I suddenly feel desperate to make him stay, to reestablish our connection. I feel like I've already screwed things up. All it took was 30 seconds face to face. Should I ask him about Tanzania? That's where Kilimanjaro is, right?
Would you want to have coffee sometime? Did I really just say that? Out loud?
Take a deep breath. Slow your roll.
I'm trying to meet new people, that's all.
He seems surprised, tilts his head to the side as if to get a better look. He's checking me out, and he's not subtle about it. This whole thing is vaguely insulting. No doubt we should stick to IMing.
Sure, yeah. Why not? What's the worst that can happen?
He asks, with a mysterious grin, an obvious reference to the same question I asked him just last night. I'm about to answer. I have a million things to say. But it turns out he's just being rhetorical, because he has already walked out the door.
SN. How was work?
Me. It was nice of you to stop by.
SN. Funny.
Me. Not the word I'd use.
SN. Question mark.
Me. Question mark.
SN. Okay, then. Moving on. Spent so much time with my Xbox today that I actually got bored. Hashtag, never thought the day would come.
Me, sore hands?
SN, rising above obvious joke. Aren't you proud of me?
So this is how we're going to play it. Pretend this afternoon never happened. Maybe this is for the best. Maybe SN / Caleb has been right all along. Writing is better. Real life talking? Way overrated.
Chapter 20.
This is a long-ass poem,
Ethan says.
And it's kind of annoying and complicated. I can't keep all the voices straight.
We're back at Starbucks, what I now think of as our Starbucks, which I would never admit to Ethan in a million years. I'm sipping the latte he bought for me, after asking if I wanted the same as last week. He even remembered that I like it extra hot. He was so casual about it. Ordered, slipped a credit card out of his wallet. I didn't even feel weird about not offering to pay. Next time I'll say something like, I got this one. Or this one is on me. Or maybe not.
I agree. I write terrible poetry, but I don't know. I can't help but write in my own voice. I am who I am who I am, whether I like it or not. A rose is a rose is a rose. Jesse is Jesse is Jesse.
Don't tell me you've read Gertrude Stein, I ask. My mom was a huge Stein fan, so when she got sick, that's what I read to her out loud. Mostly the autobiography of Alice B. Toklas, but some of her poetry too. Sacred Emily, a soothing nursery rhyme of a poem, and it turns out, Where Rose is a Rose is a Rose comes from. Not Shakespeare, which would have been my first guess. Other things I learned then. Chemo blinds you, steals your hair, and blinds you. My mother couldn't even read at the end. Rose is a rose is a rose.
Not much. Just Toklas. Talk about writing in someone else's voice.
How does he find the time to read everything? Had I not insisted on working on this project, no doubt he would have delivered me an A. Come to think of it, I may end up actually bringing our grade down. My mom was an English professor at our local college.
and she always used to quote Gertrude Stein. Called her G.S., like they were friends or something. Actually, for her 40th birthday, my dad and I got her a vintage edition of The World is Round. It's this bizarre kid's book. So random that I just thought of that. I stare out the window to regain my equilibrium. I don't talk about my mom to anyone. Not even to Scarlett. Certainly not to my dad. Talking about her is like acknowledging that she's gone. A jump into the unfathomable, rendering true that which cannot be. But we are talking about Gertrude Stein, which means we are already talking about my mom, and, I don't know, the words just came out. Ethan looks at me and waits a beat. He's comfortable with silence, I realize. He's comfortable with everything. Ethan is Ethan is Ethan.
I just want to say I'm sorry about your mom. People talk around here. Anyhow, it fucking blows, he says. I know that's a crazy understatement, but it fucking sucks that people have to die and there's nothing you can do about it. And so yeah, I just wanted to man up and say I'm sorry.
Thanks, I say into my coffee cup, because I can't look at him. I am not brave enough to lift my eyes. I don't know what I'll see there, pity or empathy. But I'm going to add brave to my inner Ethan tally, and honest, and right, because it does fucking blow, and he is the first person to actually say that to me. Everyone back at FDR mumbled sorries, probably because their parents told them they had to, and they were so obviously relieved when the words were out, the requisite box checked, that they could move on, even if I couldn't. Not that I blame them. Death makes everything awkward.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about it, but I hate how when something like that happens, people just like to pretend it didn't because it's uncomfortable and scary, and they don't know what to say. Not knowing the right thing to do is not an excuse for not doing anything. So,
he says. So, I say. I do it. I bring my eyes to his. I will show you fear in a handful of dust.
And I'm not the only nerd who memorizes the wasteland. This first section is called The Burial of the Dead, you know.
I know. I smile, because I like Ethan, and how he's not afraid of anything. Except maybe sleeping. And a smile is, in some ways, the same thing as saying thank you.
Of course you know, he says, smiling right back at me.
An hour later, we're still sitting here. This week's assignment is long done. One page on T.S. Eliot's repeated references to dirt. So now we're just hanging out, chatting. Maybe becoming actual friends, not just study partners.
You never told me what you thought of Ovil,
Ethan says after he has refilled his cup for the third time. He takes his coffee black. No fuss. Pure, unadulterated caffeine. Seriously? You guys were amazing. If I were Gem or Crystal, I'd probably be smart and play it cool, not fangirl all over him. But whatever. They indisputably rocked. You're all really talented.
I wish we could just play in my guest house. No shows at all. But apparently, it's not up to me. That's what we used to do before.
He says it like the before should be capitalized. Before and after. Before what?
Nothing. I mean, before Liam joined. He's all serious about launching a real music career, and I just want to play some music. Hang out.
Ethan stirs his coffee with a stick. A mindless habit, since there's nothing in there that needs mixing. Do you get stage fright? I ask. He pauses, as if I'm asking an important question that deserves a precise answer.
Nah, not exactly. I just feel, I don't know, more alone when everyone is staring up at me. It's isolating, I guess. and tiring.
I thought most performers feel the opposite, that it's the only place they don't feel